As I understood from your dad, that first game in the tournament wasn't quite a championship quality, was it? And it was even against a team you'd already beaten a couple times. See, what happens is we get, I'm it. I'm the stuff, man. I don't have to play to my best. I always told Jesse, I always told Justin, I said, whenever you guys go against the team, you need to understand, I don't care if you beat them once. They've got a vendetta on their shoulder. They are coming after you, and they are going to play. They may be the underdogs. They may be the bottom in the state. But if they beat you, it's your fault. The devil is coming after you because he wants to see who you are. Yeah, that from what I understood, it was had an awesome season. So they were the team to beat. And then that one team that got beat a couple times, well, they came out and they had that vendetta. They had that chip on their shoulder. But then they buckled down and they showed what they were made of. Losing a battle isn't the end of the world. Losing the war is. Oh, I got to be undefeated. Jesus Christ is the only one undefeated. Every one of us probably got defeated once yesterday. You know, I don't know, maybe you smashed your finger. Tim's looking at his. Yep, I did. See, there's always somebody who mashes a finger. Do the odds. You got 10. Everybody in here has 10. And there's, what, 50 of us sitting in here, 60 of us? 600 fingers? The odds are in my favor that one of you mashed them. But God is doing some great things. And that's why it's important for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, Angel and I were sitting down and we were just talking about some things. And we were talking about people who are focus-driven. I mean, it's great, become the great thing in the church, you know, purpose-driven. We got to have a purpose. I'm not here to slam anybody's books, by the way. I'm here to tell you, we aren't the self-help church. We aren't the motivational church. We are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. When Abraham stepped out of his tent, God said, see all them stars? See that sand? Your descendants will be like that. Do y'all realize how many Jews and Arabs? Because Ishmael is the father of them. Ishmael is a son of Abraham. How many? And then how many of us who get to call Abraham our father because we've been adopted in? See, and then God said, wherever you walk, and God started leading him, go this way, go that way, go this way. And then God said, from the Euphrates to the Nile is yours. That's a lot of territory. A lot bigger than New Jersey or Rhode Island. But what God did with that man, and all because he was led, God began to lead him about. We go forward a little bit more. We come into a man named Moses. You know, Moses might have messed up, killed an Egyptian in his zealousness for his brothers. And he was exiled to the wilderness for 40 years. Now, y'all need to understand something. Moses was 40 when this happened. He was 40. 40 years later, he comes back. Y'all doing the math yet? Let me ask you a question, Bob. Do you feel like coming back and leading 2 million rebellious, hard-headed pinheads? I can't help but notice you got rid of the cattle a couple of years ago. And they would come when he hollered. But you see, he was 80 when he came back. He was 80 years old when he came back across that desert and back and went before Pharaoh. And God said, I will lead you. He kept telling him, I'm going to lead you. You just do what I say. I will lead you. And if you remember, God led them out with a pillar of cloud and a fire. How awesome would that be? I mean, this thing is, I mean, like I said, there was nearly 2 million people. That would have to be high enough so that the people in the rear could see where they're going. Now, anytime we did those forced marches in the military, the rear got really strung out. Because, see, they put the tall guys with the long legs up front and the short guys with short legs in the back. I'm telling you, military intelligence is not expected. Flip that around and you'll watch this accordion effect stop. But that accordion effect was in effect. So they were stretched out for miles. And they had to be able to see that cloud. So this thing was huge. And then they get to the Red Sea. And they look around and they're like, we're trapped. And the people in the rear were passing word, hey, the Egyptians are on our tail. God got them all up in there. They just kept coming and they got all bottled up in that little wadi, which is a valley. Got them all up in there. They're on the beach. They're kind of, Moses, weren't there enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? And what God did is God moved. That pillar went to the rear and it sat down and it was a cloud that drowned out all the light on Egypt's side. And it was a flame on Israel's side. So it provided light. And that night, God caused the east wind to blow and dry the path across the Red Sea. Egypt went across, and God led them across there. And, well, Pharaoh thought he could do it too. See, he was led. He was led. Do you have Genesis as the first one? Okay, good. I had the other two written down, like, hey, I ought to leave room up top. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. Now remember what I'm talking about being driven. Remember Adam and Eve? They kind of messed up. God said, you can't stay here anymore. So he drove out the man. And he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to the guard to guard the way to the tree of life. By the way, cherubim are not these tiny little cute, fuzzy, fat babies. This dude had a sword that was, I mean, awesome. God drove them. See, there's a huge difference between being led and being driven. In God's world, being driven is not good. Absolutely not good. Exodus chapter 3. Is that the one I got? Okay. She'll bring it up here in a minute. God does not want us being driven by things. If you're being driven, it means you're being pushed. Anybody ever felt like you got pushed? Door-to-door salesman came to your house and they pushed you for to buy this insurance. Angela and I, we newlyweds, we didn't have still didn't have two nickels rubbed together, but boy, we signed up for that life insurance policy that was more than almost as what was it, $200? And I sat down and did the math, and when I realized I wasn't getting as much for housing, I'm like, we can't afford this. It was a direct deposit, so we had to put the kibosh on that, and yeah, it wasn't a good thing. But we felt pushed, we felt pressured into it. Here's a helpful hint for you if you're buying something that's kind of big. I'm sleeping on it. You pray on it. And if they keep pushing, today's the only day, say, well, I guess I miss out. Goodbye. Because today is not the only day. You know what I found hilarious? You know, most of us in here, we do these, we send in your rebate cards, right, for Menards. 11%, if you got a big order, that's kind of, that can add up. But during COVID shutdown, things kind of piled up. And I had a bunch of them. And I'm like, I forgot to send them in. Some of these are 6 months expired. You know what I did? I sent them in. You know what they did? They honored them. Now, they've slacked off on honoring some of them. I tried one that was about 2 years old. They didn't honor that one. Why not? It was $40. I hate when I find those. I shouldn't say hate. I don't like it when I find those and I didn't cash them in. Okay? All right, Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites. Let me pause right there. Hittites. Do you know for centuries they didn't believe the Hittites existed, and that's why they thought the Bible was a lie? But it was, I think it's been in the last 10 years or so. They have found proof Hittites existed. And they're up in Turkey and Armenia region. The Bible is true. Go figure. Next. Perizzites and... Do I have the right one? Yeah, maybe I do. Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. A lot of ites. Did I give you the right... Let me see which one we got. It's not ringing the bell for me. Should be... I'm sorry. That's why you're not getting it. It's not the next scripture. But let me finish up on this. God told Moses that he would drive Pharaoh. That he had a point to prove to Pharaoh. Now you could say, well, what point did he have to prove to Pharaoh? You know, I know Joe knows a few thing or two about Egyptian worship. Okay? And some of us, most of you have been around long enough, you know. Their pharaohs became gods, just like the Romans. And when they start declaring themselves gods, God has a real problem with this. And you don't get to run away. And people say, well, we don't have any record. It just says Pharaoh. It doesn't give the name, like King Tut. Although by everything I've been able to discover, it was right in that time as far as the years. Because the equipment, the wheels and stuff they're finding in the Red Sea down on the bottom actually matches King Tut's time. Stuff that was taken out of his tomb. But what we have is back then, let's say Richard was king. He was the Pharaoh. I didn't like Richard. He put me in prison. Richard died, and I rose up to power. I went around, shrunk all the statues down of Richard, made him look more like me, a little shorter. And I scrambled his name out of everything. There's no record that he was ever the king, but he was king for 50 years. The Egyptians did this a lot. They took their name. And understand something. When you go against God and you declare yourself as God, your name is going to be wiped from history. They're only just now finding some of these names and inscriptions and stuff that have been buried for thousands of years. But Pharaoh was one of these people. He forgot a covenant that was made with God, with God's people. It was not passed on. He said, I don't know him. I won't honor it. Well, we've only been in this land for over 120 years, 200 years at that point. Maybe one of these days we'll have to talk about the actual 400-year time frame. But God said, I will drive him. See, when God's driving something, he's not leading it, is he? He's behind it. You ever, I do kind of like watching sheepdogs work. They are phenomenal. I've seen sheepdogs jump up on the backs and run across the back of the sheep. Get over there and they start pushing them back. If the sheep won't listen to the shepherd's voice, What do you do? Whatever they do, the dog knows the commands. And he takes off, he or she takes off, and then they work in conjunction. And they'll bring those wayward sheep. And if those sheep keep going out and doing their own thing, they'll come up and nip them. But they bring them right back in. And no pigs cannot herd sheep, no matter what Babe says. We have to be sheep who are listening to God's voice. We see God drove the Egyptians. He drove Adam out of the Garden of Eden. The garden was the only place Adam knew his home. He'd go out to work, but he got to come back here. There's no bugs, man. Ain't no mosquitoes. There's no sin. You run around naked. Eat whatever you want, folks. You want a banana? You go over and grab a banana. Watermelons are growing down this road. Whatever it is you wanted. You had berries. You had nuts. You had seeds. Whatever you want, and you could eat. There's not going to be any health issues. Your sugar's going to stay right where it's supposed to be because God made your body to be perfect. Sin entered in, and well, we all know how that worked out for us. Things wear out, joints wear out. But in Adam's world, it didn't. And now he's been kicked out of this house. Because God drove him out. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Is that the next one you had? Originally, yes. That was my bad. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Was he driven? No. He was led. He was led to be tempted. And guess what? He followed. He knew what was coming. And he went anyway. The Holy Spirit will lead you. David said, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He didn't say it was always going to be a comfortable time, did he? Do you know some of the most exciting times in my life have been some of the scariest? And I'm not even talking roller coasters, folks. Those just flat out make me sick. First time I wrecked my car, wow, that was kind of fun. Except for the fact I had to pay for the damage, so it was not fun at that point. But I was like, that was a lot of excitement. My first helicopter ride, no, actually that was my second. During a typhoon, a Category 5 typhoon, thrilling, exhilarating, never felt more alive, never prayed so hard in my life. Lord, please just let us land. I do not want to be in that rice paddy down below. We look back, and it was an exciting time. David's like, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Talk about excitement. You got things trying to kill you all the way around. You know, I kind of get some of these people, why they mess with dangerous animals. The thrill. That's why people jump off of bridges, antennas, structures, you know, base jumping. There's a thrill that goes along with it. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's one thing that I've thought, I'm too old to try it now. I'm just not going to do it. It's that squirrel suit thingy. You get up on a really tall mountain and you just jump off, and then partway down you go, poof. They're 50, 60 feet off the ground. I mean, boulders, and they're just flying. It's amazing. The ones they don't show you is where they slam into the side of the mountain or the boulders down below or the thing rips and thank God they don't show those. But our lives were never supposed to be after the Garden of Eden. We're never going to be easy. So why would we go against God and have to be find something to drive us? Why do we have to be driven to be Christians? Why can't we say, God, I will do what you want me to do today. Lead me and I will follow. Not, well, God, here's my plans. Here's what I'm going to do first. I know God looks down at us, especially after high school. God, here's my goals in life. God says, good for you. You ready for the curveball? I was going to be an electrician, a high-voltage electrician. Had everything lined up. They were going to send me to the school down in West Virginia, Albat, through the union. I was going to work with my dad. He's a lineman. I was going to make lots of money. I mean, back in 1988, I was supposed to start over $10 an hour as a groundman. That was pretty good back then. Today, it ain't squat. But also, gas was 79 cents a gallon when I graduated. Huge. My plans? The very next day I graduated was the day I was supposed to have started. Nope, don't bring him in. We hired somebody else. What? Who'd you hire? Oh, we hired the boss's son. You hired that? He'd already worked for my dad before. And dad told him, don't ever put him on my cruise. You send him to John. And dad refused to work with him. And there was a good reason. He was usually stoned when he was at work. You can't work construction or electrical being stoned. You can't work stoned. That might be a problem we got today. Got too many people that are stoned. But my life didn't go the way I wanted it. My plans, man, I mean, that year I already had, folks, I had my pickup truck picked out. I was getting a Ford Ranger four-wheel drive STX with a roll bar extended cab. Had it picked out. All I needed was some credit history. So I needed a job. I figured by fall I could afford this. Well, that didn't come around. Farmer up the road said, hey, you want to bale some straw? And, hey, sure. A friend of mine said, hey, I'm putting a bathroom in up this church. You want to help me? We'll split $200. Even then, that was wrong. We did it for free. Nope. Nothing went the way I built fences at 2 degrees. For $5 an hour. And I said, what am I doing? It's 2 degrees out here. Well, I did it. And then finally I got done. What do you want me to do, Lord? Well, what can you do? I don't know. Take the ASVAB test. See what you can do. Took the ASVAB test and I saw what I could do. I could sign my name on the bottom of a piece of paper that said I belonged to the government for the next 8 years. And God said, okay, now that you've done that, you finally got yourself in line with my will, I'll give you a girlfriend. Oh, but by the way, I'm taking you away from her. And I'm here to tell you, folks, nothing has worked out the way I thought it was going to. My plans, my drive. I always wanted to be self-employed. Don't know why, I just did. And even things we tried, they said, well, what are you going to do if you can make a lot of money? I'm going to start a construction business. What? That was my dream. Sitting around on my butt wasn't my dream. I wanted to work. I wanted to build things. And then I got the opportunity to start my own business. Finally. Nearly 30 years old. Started my own business. All right, God, you can ask Angela, I had it all. I'm going to have crews. We're going to build houses. We're going to be able to take vacation. I'm going to be able to go on fishing trips and hunting trips. I'm going to have a boat, a new truck. You can have a new car. A little over a year into my adventure, God said, Art, why don't you start a church? No. As you know, my words were no way. Folks, thank God for the discipline that the Marines put in me for instant, willing obedience to orders. Whether I liked them or not. You see, by doing that, God brought me into something of His will. And I'm here to tell you, folks, when you're in His will, I have found joy. Is it exciting? Oh, every bit. Every bit of exciting. Is it hard sometimes? Yeah. Because, see, now, instead of just the four brothers and sisters that I actually have physically, I now have a lot. And what happens in your life affects me. So there's a lot of excitement in my life. But it's what God built me for. He trained me. He brought me up into it. And by listening to Him and being led by the Spirit, I'm not being driven. Oh, we could have, folks, we could have the biggest church in this county. I'll just tell you right now. All I have to do is quit telling the truth. Quit preaching the Bible. Okay, 2 and 1. Start talking more self-help stuff. Bring in, as Pastor Dosik used to see, bring in Hollywood preachers. People will line up down the road. Why? Aren't you getting the same word? You should be. Well, I like a different person. Fine. Oh, we could do all kinds of things, but it would compromise. It would mean that we would no longer have the truth. You're free to do what you want. That's what Paul said. I can do what I want, but I have found out not all things are beneficial for me. Folks, I can sit down and I can eat that entire cheesecake covered in cherries. I happen to like the tartness of the cherry. I can do it. Is it going to be beneficial for me? Let's see. We're going to have the sugar high, the sugar low, the serious diarrhea that's going to kick in later from all that sugar. And I'm going to feel like garbage. And I'm going to lay on my bed, oh, why did I do that? It wasn't beneficial to me. One piece was fine. So Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes His life was a little exciting. I mean, how many of you guys would like to get the devil to take you up to the clock tower at the courthouse and say, I'll give you all of this. You just need to jump off. God will protect you. Jesus looked at him and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Turn these stones into bread. I know you can do it. All you have to do is bow to me. And I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. You shall have no other God. You shall worship no other God. He just used the scripture. Didn't have to spend 6 months in prayer, fasting, Guess what? You don't have 6 months to do that. You know, when Joe got his diagnosis, he said, we've got a lump. Start digging in. They start finding out. First, they tell him it's one thing. He was like, that's not a good thing. But we attacked it. We attacked in prayer. And we began to surround our brother in prayer. Well, Joe, tell you what, we're going to need 6 months to pray and think about this. At that point, you might not have had 6 months for us to think about it and pray about it. You just got to do things. Deal with it right then. So now, Mark chapter 11. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. What did he do? He was leading them out, right? He was leading them. No. If you remember the story, all the details of this story, he says he fashioned a whip. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it wasn't made out of velvet ropes. It was leather strands. And he went in and started whooping on people. Pushing tables over. Chairs. And he began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. I'll tell you what they did. They made the church a common place. We can do anything here. This might offend some people, but I'm here to tell you the truth. There's never going to be a basketball court on this floor. This is a temple. I'm the temple, but this is a temple too. You want a basketball court? Go pour one. Go to the gym. This is a church building. We're the church. This is where we assemble. Jesus wouldn't let them carry stuff through. Can you imagine being the next guy standing outside the door, not knowing what just took place? And he goes through there, and there's Jesus standing over in the corner just waiting. Gotcha! Man, they wore robes. Catch you across the back of your legs. I remember when you'd get to dancing as a child. He jumped out and he whooped them. He wouldn't let them carry stuff through because they now made it a den of thieves. They were overcharging. They weren't giving fair rates. Stuff, first off, it should have been done outside the gate. Not inside. But they made it common. They took it as commonplace. Now, let me fast forward this to you, folks. You are not common. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why I tell people, be careful with your body. You only got one. Should we take care of it? Yeah. Absolutely. I know the things that make me sick. I love deep fried fish. But the first plate is all I should eat. And I don't know what it is, but you know, when you go to them all you can eat, the first plate is outstanding. Second one, you can hold it up and it's not cooked all the way through. I mean, it's just like they threw it in there, 5, 4, 3, up, don't matter. I like my fish cooked. I haven't tried real sushi. Maybe one of these days, I don't know. Don't hold your breath. I've been told it's good. I tried that stuff over at Hong Kong Buffet. I'm guessing that's kind of like eating sushi out of the gas station refrigerator. Yeah. I'm like, how can anybody eat this and say it's good? It's like eating kale. I have yet to find one person that will admit that kale is good tasting. It may be good for you, but it does not taste good. And my life's too short to eat a bunch of stuff that doesn't taste good. I like apples. watermelons, peaches, strawberries, blackberries, mulberries. We need to be led, not driven. When we're driven, first off, somebody else is doing the driving. Okay? Somebody else is pushing your buttons. And when you're too focused, let me tell you something. If I'm here to, I'm going to stare back here at Johnny. I'm going to make him uncomfortable right now. But I'm just going to stare at Johnny. And if I'm only focusing on Johnny, I'm going to put my blinders on. I can't see anybody else because I'm too focused on him. But there's a lot of people between me and Johnny. But on my way to that goal, I'm missing opportunities. You pray for opportunities to bless somebody. Do you know that door you could have held open for that elderly person or that mom with three kids carrying her groceries? Oh, wait a minute, you could have helped carry the groceries. Prove to the world that there is still some good in this world. Well, Jesus didn't tell me to do that. And he said, anytime you have an opportunity to do good, do good. There, you've been told, you've been led. Well, I can get you some lead if you need to feel it. You can touch it. That's what Buddy Bell used to say. Here, now you felt led. Do what's right. Do good. You can love people. That's what we're called to do, is to love people. Well, you know, I don't like them people. I don't care what you like. It's not about you liking anybody. It's not about you agreeing with everybody. That's why the word says, you know, hardly would a good man die for his friends. Hardly. But let alone somebody you don't like. Think about that for a minute. Think about somebody that disgusts you. They're despicable human beings. And you can get your mind off of politicians right now. Would you, if your death meant that they could be saved, would you do it? And you'll have your answer of how you love God. He said, lead. Well, I don't know. What did Jesus do? That was a whole big thing. What would Jesus do? Well, he sat down with a woman who the Jews hated, showed her kindness. A leper came up to him. He didn't run away. He healed people on the Sabbath, fed his disciples on the Sabbath. He wasn't worried about what religious people thought. He ate food with dirty hands. I mean, honestly, if that's a sin, I am the chief of sinners. I always told the boys, I said, if you're going to be a wrench turner for a living, get used to the taste of grease and oil, because you're never going to feel like washing your hands completely. You're like, I am so hungry, I want that sandwich. I mean, you will figure out how to hold that sandwich and eat the least amount of oil and grease that you can. So let's remember that we're to be led. The body of Christ is to be led, not driven. Nowhere will you find that God drove me to do this. He drove me into the arms of another woman. No, you were led there, or you were driven there by your lust. Because he was trying to lead you this way. You know, some of us, we ought to pray, Lord, put the ring in my nose so you can hook that thing. I told you before about the bulls, right? That was an amazing thing when I found out that it didn't mean how mean they were. You got a 2,000-pound animal that's got a mind of his own. You want him to do what you want to do. You know, when you might weigh 200 pounds and he's 2,000 pounds, he's like, I ain't going there. But boy, you grab hold of that little ring, you got his attention. And if you think I'm kidding, pinch yourself and then let somebody grab your arm. It hurts. They don't like it. If that's what you need, then God, pierce my nose and pull me by my nose. But you know what? He wants you to do it willingly. It's not love if I have to make you do it. It's love if I do it willingly. All right. We got war on the floor here. We're going to pray. And like I said, folks, God has been so good. Remission. Brother, I'm going to keep, we're still praying for you for total recovery, which includes, I know I saw you sitting there with your bottle cooling your head down.